Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Hello, Blood River Radio family. I'd like to welcome you back. And just in case you're just tuning in, I'll give you a real brief recap of what we did the first hour. We had an absolute legend. Don Black is an absolute legend of the white rights movement. He's probably born about 1953. Barely missed Vietnam. He probably was an Army Green Beret. We'll get over that with him sometime. We had him on. He was an early leader. Started very early, about 15 years old in the white rights movement. He became a national director / Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan at a very young age. It was a procession of David Duke. The current national director / Grand Dragon is Pastor Thomas Robb. We had Jason Robb, his son, who is a chief attorney, a very, very well-known lawyer, chief attorney for the white rights. We had had both those two gentlemen on, and we gave a brief history of the Klan, very brief. And we didn't get to the upcoming, the big national conference. It's going to be in Zinc, Arkansas. Probably over Labor Day. I was going to say, I don't know if I'm going to be making it or not. I've been having so many weird things happening to me. But anyway, right now we're transitioning to the second hour. We have my little sister, Monica, the Braveheart Schaefer on. We have my brother, Paul Fromo. They, too, are like Don Black and like Jason Robb, legendary in the movement. Paul Fromm is older than Monica. He's been in this battle. God, since the 60s. I mean, forever. You know, I've been in it. I was battling in the streets, not organized. I was older when I came into, you might say, mainstream, but I battled blacks, battled black gangs in the streets of South Memphis. It was a struggle to survive to keep from being killed. That's how I came up. But these two people have been in mainstream for a long time. Sister Monica Schaefer, my little sister, had been even gone to prison by God just for crime speak in Germany. Her home country of Germany. Paul Fromm has been battling in and out forever and a day. And with that introduction, I'm going to bring these two people on. And I guess this Monica, I'm still old school, and since Monica's a lady, we'll bring her on first. How are you doing, Sister Monica?
I'm doing fine, but I just have to say that I am really a baby in this movement because I woke up very late in life, so I really don't want to take credit for things that, you know, all these people like yourself and Paul Fromm and Don Black and Jason Robb, I think you said you had on in the first hour.
Yes.
You have all been there so, you know, since a long, long time. And I thank you for that because really you you gave us the foundation, really, is what I'm trying to say here. I'm stumbling on my words. But I am going to go back to the archives and listen to that first hour. I only came in on the last quarter hour. So I do want to hear that history that you were talking about, you know, the history of the KKK, because this is the second most lied about piece of our history or the most demonized thing. You know, the first would be Germany, World War II, Adolf Hitler, gas chambers, all that stuff. And then the other big, 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 big lie was about the KKK. I'm telling you, in school, what we learned, it was like that was just basically evil incarnate is how we were presented with what that was. So, and I have over the last few years, you know, disabused myself of a lot of that, but I am very interested to listen. So I will go back to the archives and listen to that. So thank you for that. Thank you for the introduction. And I do have an update about Alfred, but why don't you go to Paul first, you know, make a greeting, and I'll give another update about my brother Alfred, and then we'll go wherever we're going to go today.
Yes. Well, Paul Frum, like Monica said, like I said, has been in I might say, the established resistance, the established battle against a white global white genocide since at least the late 60s. He really has. And I mean, everybody's mama knows Paul Frum. It's a great, great honor to have Paul Frum on this program with us. So, Paul, if you will, give us a brief out before we go back to Monica. And I'm very anxious to hear more about her brother, Alfred, he's also in prison. They'll never let him alone because of thought crime and speech crime. And he dared admit that he doesn't hate himself for being white and being Gentile. But go ahead, Paul, give us a brief outline. Anything you want to say, brief outline about a brief bio, although I can't imagine many people not knowing about you, and we do your thing, and we'll hear about Alfred. But go ahead, Brother Paul.
Okay, well, I've been politically active since 1965. My parents were nearly killed by Fidel Castro during the revolt in Bogota, Colombia in 1948. That's called the Bogotos. These were communists. And although Castro was not a Colombian citizen, he came down to join his comrades. So my parents got caught in a crossfire between government forces and the communist rebels. So our family has never liked communism. And that's how I grew up. And, of course, long before the colored hordes started coming to Canada, I could see the problem if that developed, because England was already deteriorating from a lot of third world immigration. That's back in around 67. Little did I know that in 65, our laws were changed, and we were going to throw open the doors to the third world. It took a couple of years, but conservatives learn from history, or try to. And I was just looking around at recent history, and I became quite strongly opposed to immigration, or the massive third world immigration. So, I've been an activist opposing communism, massive third world immigration, and attacks on free speech. Of course, Monica was able to benefit from some of the work that a number of us who fought for free speech had done in Canada. We were able to fill her in on the local scene, because, I mean, there are still threats to her speech. And we saw in place the attempt in her own hometown to destroy her completely, because they bought into the Holocaust religion. And of course, it is a religion, and we in Canada are now we have a state religion, and you could go to jail if you don't believe so. When Monica was ticking off those things, you know, the gas chambers, Auschwitz, 6 million. Did we mention 6 million yet? Here in this country, you've got to believe, brother. You must believe, or you're a heretic. But it's not funny. It's pathetic that this has happened to an Anglo-Saxon country. Anyway, that's a brief rambling introduction.
No, that was excellent. I didn't know about the Bogota. Sorry, go ahead.
Religious terms, I'm told, I think among Protestants, you're urged to, you must testify to your faith. You know, in other words, you must proclaim it. I still have my German football flag flying on my car. Yes, I recognize the World Cup is over, but I was too lazy to take it down. I have twice in a week had a big thumbs up I had somebody who said he came from Pakistan, and he spoke to me in German, and he was saying, Deutschland, good country, and he really liked the flag. He actually really liked the fact I was flying the flag. And then he reached into his trunk and pulled out a flag of his own, German flag. You know, it's a great conversation starter. And I was at a supermarket last night, and I was just preparing a few things to go in, and the guy in the car beside me goes thumbs up and rolls down his window, and he, I think he had come from the East. He was speaking in German and saying,
probably have to go to a break. We're going to a quick break. Folks, don't be gone long, but in 90 seconds. Be back in 90 seconds.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd just like to say this. You have to worship the God, that God of the Holocaust is the God. It's the God that will have no other gods before it. You never forget that. If you don't want to get in trouble, you need to worship that Holocaust. Anyway, with that, Paul, go ahead and wrap it up. Anything you have to say, which is very interesting. I'd like to also say the same thing Monica said. I didn't know your parents got involved in a pitched battle like that. That's amazing. But go ahead, finish up anything you'd like to talk about that, Paul. And then we'll hear about Brother Alvin being in prison.
And here's a further irony or laugh. I went to Cuba about 10 years ago. And the entire plane of maybe 120 people, I was the only one they had any trouble with. And I thought, it must be some communist thing. Well, the very little, not very swift girl who was questioning me, it turns out the problem was my passport says I was born in Colombia. And it took my companion, who speaks better Spanish than I do, and me, a moment or two to figure out, well, what's the issue? I think she figured I was a middle-aged drug pusher because I was because I was born in Colombia. So I tried to explain. My parents were Canadian. My dad was in the oil industry, and that's why we were in Colombia. That turned out to be okay. That was only about a 10-minute delay. When I last time I came back to Canada 2 weeks ago, It was a 3-hour detention when they stole my laptop and went through every piece of underwear, newspaper clipping, and so on. I figure anybody that has a fetish for going through people's underwear has got a sexual problem.
Where were you coming back from again? I did read the story that you were coming back into Canada. But
Japan.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. The CBSA, Canadian Border Services Agency, I think they're a band of thugs, personally, I think.
They are. And they should be exposed as much as possible. I want to talk to one of our friends down in the States, doing an article for them. It should be made widely known how out of control they are.
Yes, indeed. Okay, no,
this is a quick story. Going to and from New York last year, we went up there for the New York Marathon and also to see these other the great sights. But going to and from, get this, I had to go through the x-ray machine. I failed the x-ray machine, y'all. I really did. I failed it. And I've told this story before, but this is what infuriates me. Meanwhile, while I'm having to go through all this, you have these Indians dressed up in the full suits where all you can see is a little slit across their eyes, and their clothes looked like they're made out of Army surplus blankets. Army blankets, or when I was in the Army, they're what they call OD green or dark brown. And they look like Army blanket material. They're going through with no problem. I'm telling the guy, well, what do you think's under those dresses that they're wearing? I mean, could it be a submachine gun? But anyway, I failed the x-ray machine, and then I failed 3 pat-downs. They finally let me go. And when I said, what? You let me go, but what did I fail? Did you find a grenade? Did you find a machine gun? What the trigger device for a hydrogen bomb? What set it off? They could never tell me because the first two guys that patted me down couldn't speak English. But anyway, that shows you the disparity and how white old. I knew what the game was. I'm an old white guy, and so they're giving me all kinds of help. But Sister Monica, I'm really on fire to hear about Brother Alfred being in prison again and. Give a brief incident.
Yeah.
Basically, he was in prison for crime and crime speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's been in prison this go around since October 7th, and he's recently been moved from one prison to another. So he's back in Munich at the Stadelheim prison, and now at first this was. Quite uncomfortable. It was very, very hot. It is very hot in Europe, and I guess it cooled down for a little bit, but I guess they're expecting another heat wave, and he's right under the roof, so he's in a very hot floor, like the top floor, and no air conditioning, of course. But anyway, he was in better spirits this last Thursday, I think it was, that his wife got to visit him, and now the good news is that he finally has a date. A trial date for it starting anyway, starts September 7th, because, you see, he's in prison on remand now. The reason he was moved from Bernau to Stadelheim is because he finished his 10-month sentence that he had, you know, for some mouth noises that came out of his mouth at some meeting, peaceful meeting that 100 police thugs interrupted in Augsburg. That was a couple of years ago. So for some words that he spoke there to the officers, like, gee, maybe you should be, you know, doing something about the all the rape fugees on the streets of Berlin who are raping, you know, the German women instead of breaking up our peaceful meeting here or whatever, things like that, you know. Or he said, oh, at least I'm not as bad as a Negro. I think he said that was one of the charges against him that he served the 10 months for. There were a number of things that they accused him of, and it was all things like that, Paul, that you rightfully are laughing about, because it is just unbelievable how ridiculous it's gotten. Actually, in Germany, this Beleidigung, that means to insult somebody, is a huge big deal. You can go to jail for beleidigung of a government employee. Like if you hurt the feelings of a government employee because you said something to them that just might have, you know, make them feel a little bit, oh, that hurt my feelings, you go to jail. It's unbelievable how they've taken that to the nth degree. Anyway, so he's moved back to Stadelheim. They weren't about to let him free after he finished serving his 10-month sentence. No, because they have a big pile of charges against him pending, and he was just languishing, and there was no trial date set for the longest time. Okay, finally they have set the trial date, and they have 10 dates booked at approximately 3 per week, and starting on September 7th. So that's in Munich at the Landgericht, which is the higher court. It's the same level of court that we faced in 2018, because that court is for, you know, criminal matters, bigger matters. If he was just in, what's the other one called? Like, I forgot the name of the lower court. That would be for, you know, just lesser crimes for which you're maybe just going to get a fine or maybe less than 2 years prison or something like that. But no, he's in front of the higher court right off the bat, and we'll just see what happens. But at least he has a date coming up, because he was, you know, one can think, gee, are they just going to let him languish there for a long, 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 long time and not put him on trial so that there's not even any daylight at the end of the tunnel, right? So, okay, so that's my news about Alfred. If you want to write him, I encourage you to do so, but just with encouraging short note of, you know, just saying hello, but don't try to educate the political prisoner. The reason they are in jail is because they are already educated. So I say just keep it short and sweet and positive. And the address is on the freespeechmonica.com website, as well as on the truthandjusticeforgermans.com website. So
What's he charged with now?
Yeah, okay. They've been watching him very, very carefully ever since he got out of that long prison sentence when he got out in 2022. And they just monitor everything he says online. So some of the streams he's done, some of the interviews he's done, you know, anything he says, they've diligently translated passages into German. He was delighted about that because he said, oh, great, isn't that nice? They've translated all this stuff for me. Perfect. Anyway, so it's just for words that he speaks online, basically for noticing patterns and, you know, talking about it. And again, the old saying, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And this is exactly what's going on. And I think there are 22 charges, like 22 separate charges that this is in a 53-page document that they landed on him. And so he's preparing his own. He does not call it a defense. He calls it an answer to their state, you know, their accusation that he's a heretic. So this brings it full circle to what you said about this religion, the state religion. Because it is a religion, and if you are, you know, you question it, then you're a heretic. So he is answering their statement of, or their accusation of him being a heretic. He does not want to call it a defense, even though that's what he is preparing, his own defense. But that uses their language, their kind of paradigm, I guess you could say. And yeah, that's what's going on right now.
I have a great question. If I don't know how much time I got, I don't want to interrupt Paul. But, you know, when our Führer, I consider probably the greatest man in the past 200 years, Adolf Hitler, when he was put on trial, he completely did a judo in trial. He turned the trial upon the people who had him in there and accused them here in the United States of being, I'll continue this with question when we come back, and then I'll get the heck out of y'all's way. Anyway, folks, you've got about 4 minutes. This is a long break. You will get tea, coffee, use the restroom, and go ahead and do it. But be back in about 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump says the U.S. is keeping up military pressure on Iran, warning that American strikes will continue until Tehran can no longer threaten U.S. interests. The White House says Iran has broken past agreements and continues to target shipping and American personnel. At the same time, the State Department is urging Americans in 10 Middle Eastern countries to stay alert as tensions rise. The Department of Homeland Security is cracking down on non-citizens illegally voting in New Jersey.
Four individuals have been charged following a joint federal investigation. This comes after New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill admitted that approximately 6,600 non-citizens were registered to vote in the state. DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen has warned multiple states about this issue. Officials emphasize that non-citizens who cast ballots will face strict penalties, including deportation. John Scott reporting.
President Trump issues a new threat if two Senate Republicans don't confirm Todd Blanche as Attorney General.
President Donald Trump says on Truth Social that he's keeping acting Attorney General Todd Blanche in his current role, and that if Republican Senators John Cornyn of Texas and Tom Tillis of North Carolina don't back him, Trump will press ahead on a $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund to compensate people who feel mistreated by the criminal justice system during the Obama and Biden administrations. Trump on Friday had pronounced the fund dead, but the administration needs Cornyn and Tillis' votes to confirm Blanche. Donna Water, Washington.
The Trump administration is proposing new rail safety rules requiring Mexican train crews crossing into the U.S. to understand critical safety information in English. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most. It works and you can trust it. Rather than tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear their stories. Mark was in tears from his daily hand joint discomfort. But after a week on Relief Factor, he felt 50% better, and now he barely notices any pain. Loves our customer service. He's so happy he's spreading the word. And Mark is just one of many. I'm one of them. I take Relief Factor every single morning for back issues. I don't take Relief Factor, my back issues come back. They make it easy to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor gave you your life back. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team, and they will do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us as well. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people." Unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Opposite.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much for holding on. I'd like to make a brief statement, then we'll ask some questions. When Adolf Hitler, they got him out of the prison and put him on trial, he was brilliant. It was a masterful stroke of judo. He completely turned the trial around and put the people that had him on trial, the judges, the prosecutors, the police, started asking them questions. In my case, like I was telling Paul and Monica, if they'd been had me on trial, I would ask them, "You're white, at least on the outside. You're the race traitor. I'm not. For all the sins, imaginary or real sins that you're accusing me of, at least by God, I'm not a race traitor." And when a race traitor, and I'll make this brief, here's a race traitor, in my opinion. You have a bitch dog, a stray dog that's running loose, and we have stray dogs in Africa, and she gives birth to a litter of her puppies in an alley in South Africa. And when they're born, she bites them through the neck and kills them, and she proceeds to nurse a litter of rat puppies. To me, that's equivalent to a race traitor. Well, Adolf Hitler turned the tables on these sons of bitches, and he made great, great points. And eventually, we all know he eventually got out of there. But and I almost forgot where I was going with this. Sister Monica, is there no possibility at all of Alfred doing a judo like Adolf Hitler did?
I think that he's probably working on something of that sort. I would think. I mean, he's a smart guy, and he knows that, you know, these are the thugs. The criminals are the ones running the court, running the system. So it's not like, you know, it's sort of like when we were on trial, when things happened, such as they're showing the films for which we were charged with, you know, the documentaries that Alfred made and my little video, Sorry Mom. They're showing that all in court, and we were, of course, delighted because they were also translating everything into the German language. We were delighted by all that, but not because we thought that it's going to work in our favor, but just because this is now on the record. I mean, I have told people, look, there's no transcripts for the court proceedings in Germany. However, things that are written down, yeah, those are on the record. So when they wrote out full translations of not just the little 6-minute video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, but also the videos that I had put in at the end of that to recommend it to the listener to view these for a better understanding, such as "Off Your Knees, Germany!" exclamation point. And that was the Ernst Zundel story. And then there was the Ursula Haverbeck, but there was also the believing the what's the full title? The Holocaust, Why We Believed, that excellent documentary that was put together. Now I forgot who it was. Was it Kyle Hunt? I forgot the name now, but these were excellent, excellent educational videos that those three videos together would really go a long ways to explaining the whole story, the whole narrative. And so here they were on the record now in a German courtroom, and we were absolutely delighted. But did we think, oh, well, that's going to get us out of prison? No, but we just knew that that was a good thing. Now, just in comment to what you said there about the race traitor and The trouble nowadays with the German people is that they've had now several generations of the most extreme mind control, you know, psychological warfare, indoctrination done upon them. to the point that they are now, I mean, I'm not talking all of them, and there are many who are waking up, and there is a shift going on as we speak. But in general, the Germans have become a self-hating people. And I don't mean that an individual, you know, person hates themselves, but as a race, they hate themselves, or as a nation, they hate themselves because of their history. And, oh, they're, you know, this is this unique thing about Germany that they have this history. And so they hate their own people, their folk, the very thing that Adolf Hitler did so much to revive, the, you know, the pride in their own folk, and to get them back up off their knees and strong and proud and healthy and vibrant. The very thing that he achieved, that is what the enemy has sought to undo for now 8 decades. So that is a problem. So that example, yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, the reason I think Hitler's defense succeeded was that the people he was trying to reach, the judge, prosecutor, the police, they shared certain values. He could shame them. There's no point saying to a race traitor nowadays, you're betraying your race. He doesn't care. He's not proud of his race.
Right.
But the Germany in the 1920s was only 52 years or so from German reunification in 1871. So there was quite a residual pride at all that Germany had succeeded as, become a major world power, become a huge economic force, and so on. So you could shame somebody by saying this prosecution is basically anti-German. I'm being prosecuted for things that you probably believe in yourself. I'm sure he didn't put it exactly that way, but there was a common base. I would think today, from what I've heard, Monica was saying, so many Germans are being propagandized into believing that they were bad, but the only way to be good is always to apologize for the Holocaust and welcome every Tom and Dickless Harry that comes down the pike. That's why in present day Canada, to denounce a person as a race traitor, it's hard to make somebody who has no pride in being white or who believes Canada's history is all about stealing the land from the native people, blah, 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 and being anti-Semitic when we wouldn't allow Jews to come to Canada in the late 30s. They feel by being traitors, they're good.
Right.
We don't
exactly
have that common ground. Now, depending what the argument was, in Germany, you might say, we were all ashamed that we were part of a genocide. I mean, you'd have to have your tongue in your cheek so to the size of a softball. But okay, you're ashamed that we were part of a genocide. But Angela Merkel's immigration policies were destroying the German people. That's a genocide. We can't support genocide, can we? Might be an argument. It was amazing what has happened in the Spanish colony of Ceuta, or Spanish Morocco, it used to be called. Somebody has organized a mass invasion. About 60,000 and you see a video of it, male, that you, there isn't a female to be found, unless one of these guys identifies as a woman. But no, I mean, they're all military age young men, look relatively virile, they're running along and so on. And the Spanish army and border police completely surrendered. Now, some of them are going back, apparently. But you wonder, who funded this? Who organized it?
Right.
And these are people supposedly coming as refugees. I saw virtually no backpacks or knapsacks or plastic bags with, you know, food or, if you were going to go on a trip, one of the things you're going to do is take along some supplies.
Something is amiss.
Something is amiss. I see the long nose and bony hands of Netanyahu.
The small hat.
We have to take our last break of the second hour. The time is just going all too fast. We'll be right back, folks. Get about 90 seconds. Don't be late getting back.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say somebody. Dear Blood Group Radio family, I've got a quick question. I guess I asked to Paul, because I think Paul's probably Catholic Church, I'm not sure. Paul, being that I'm a great believer in the Holocaust of those nasty Germans, but I'm going to ask you a question. I think you're a biblical scholar. Was he just totally powerless to prevent the execution of 6 million Jews? The Germans were so evil and so powerful, they just overpowered God, because we know the Jews are God's chosen people. God would never allow that to happen to his chosen people. God sat on the sideline and watched 6 million of his chosen people be executed by these evil, nasty Germans. Was he powerless against, were the Germans that powerful? Or could it be, Paul, that because what the Germans did, in 1907, when the very first revolutions in Germany created by Jews, up into the 20s and 30s, when millions of innocent Gentiles were executed and killed in the most horrible ways, including the Holodomor, where millions of people were starved to death in Ukraine by the Jews. Could it be either God was powerless to stop the Nazis from killing the Jews, or could it be possible that it was payback for what they did to the other races? Now, I know that may be a crazy question, but I've often wondered about that. And Paul, I know you being a religious scholar, I'm sure you can answer that. Go ahead, Paul. You try. If you can't do it, I bet your sister Monica can.
Well, this is a difficult one. I'm not, my background is not religion. I mean, that's academically. Let me just bounce this one out. Could it be that because God would not, the Jews are God's chosen people, could it be that maybe the story we have of 6 billion, etc., couldn't possibly be happening because God is a good and a just God and a loving God, and he wouldn't let that happen to his people. So maybe the story is wrong, but of course I can't say that in Canada because it is our state religion, and brother, I must believe.
Have you been baptized, Paul? Into is there a special baptismal here in the South? You can do it in a river, a creek, anywhere you've got water. Have you been baptized into that religion? Brother, have you been baptized? Oh, you believe? Have you been baptized? I guess I better shut the hell up. I'm getting out of hand.
I don't know what you have to do to be baptized. Maybe toss a container of ashes over your head to show you how contrite you are for even being white. You see, this is all insanity. I'm a Canadian. My parents were born in Canada. Why should I feel guilty about the Holocaust? Even within their crazy religion, I look at it this way. Whatever this Holocaust thing was, it didn't happen in Canada. It didn't happen to Canadians, and Canadians didn't do it. In fact, in World War II, Canadians fought against the people who allegedly did do this Holocaust thing. No reason for guilt. Stop boring me with this nonsense. Why should I feel guilty? We're the good guys, even according to their story. But your guilt is insidious, and the evil forces long ago learned it was a good way to control, I'm not sure I'd say white people, but certainly Anglo-Saxons and North Europeans. We are susceptible to guilt. Even in comedies, you've got the standard line, I slayed for you. I gave up everything for you. I worked so hard for you, and now you don't even want to visit me on Sunday. that's kind of a comic story, but it plays on a real reality. We try to, well, some people try to control each other with guilt, the evil forces long ago learned if you can get us to believe somehow that we are wrong or are bad, you can make us feel guilty. In fact, there's a sort of a good story. There's a teacher in British Columbia named McMurtry, and when the complete hogwash tale that the Indians had discovered 215 unmarked graves of dead Indian children at the former residential school in Kamloops. When that came out, he, who has a PhD in Native Studies, told his class in Chilliwack, B.C., that there are some reasons to question this. For instance, they didn't do an analysis on these anomalies. That's all the ground-penetrating radar found, anomalies. They could be they could be old boots. They could be different soil. They could be bricks. They could be, or they could be bodies. Wouldn't the next thing you do want to dig in and see, okay, what are these and all? And that has never been done. 5 years later, and he told his class soon after it became news that you have to be skeptical. You have to look for proof. You have to look for evidence. Things must be evidence-based. They marched him out of the classroom and fired his ass. And his
they've made a great activist out of him. When they do that, they make a fantastic activist, and that's he's been doing awesome good work, Jim McMurtry. Glad you brought him up. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
And the good news is that he will now get his day in the court, in the Supreme Court of British Columbia to challenge his firing. And
oh, good.
His useless Marxist union wouldn't back him.
Oh.
When I was going through my problems, my union at least backed me at the initial stage, at the grievance. That is a piece of good news for free speech. And but it was a case where even in this conservative Bible Belt area of British Columbia, where you think they would be respect or honest scholarship and respect wanting some evidence, he had in some way violated the sacred truth. We were prepared to believe absolute nonsense because we'd been so softened up with anti-white guilt. The very fact he suggested, well, you want to look for evidence. There might be anomalies in the ground penetrating radar. That an anomaly doesn't mean there's a dead body. And if there is a dead body, then the next question is, well, how did the person die? And yet a lot of people believe it was those damn Catholic nuns and priests. They murdered these Indian children, which...
Well, Paul, finish, and then I'll just jump in with what the chief said.
That's my point.
Okay, so didn't you hear what the Chief Sette said? I mean, you should know that. No, they know that those children are buried there because their spirits are speaking to them. You know, they don't.
Yes,
they don't.
I saw that.
Yes, I mean, this is for real, folks. It's not a joke. These chiefs get up. Assembly of Grand Chiefs or whatever it's called.
That's right.
Recently, and he actually said this stuff about how. No, we shouldn't have to, prove it because we know this happened and they speak to us. These spirits speak to us and we feel them. We feel their energy. Now, this is serious stuff. Now, that might work if you're talking about some, fictional ghost story, but it does not work if you're accusing our people of doing a genocide and accusing us of murdering children and accusing us of disappearing thousands of children. So it's not just those 215. They have accused our people, our race, the Canadian, European stock people of genocide and the missing, thousands of children missing. Guess what? They cannot name one. They don't have names, these missing children. There isn't a missing child. There were some deaths at the schools, but they're all accounted for. There were deaths from disease. There were deaths from other, there were deaths outside of the schools too. Yeah, that's
over
right.
Over a 90-year period, there were I think, four major flus, and that's in the days before we had antibiotics. And particularly in 1918, 1919, there was the Spanish flu.
Yes.
And unlike this bogus COVID, the Spanish flu actually existed and particularly hit young people.
And more people on reserve died than in the schools, actually. That's the statistics will say that.
Sure.
Thanks. Good brother, Paul. Sister Monica, we've run completely out of time.
Yes, we have.
So we have run completely out. I cannot tell y'all how much I enjoy having both you precious people on. And please stay in touch with me, and I'll stay in touch with y'all. We'll have to get you back on again very soon. God bless you.
I enjoyed this very much. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Eddie.
Also, go to RBN and listen to Sister Monica. She'll be on at 7 o'clock. RBN. Tune in
Central,
to Sister Monica.
7 Central.
7 Central. Good. Everybody, okay. Blood River Radio family, we're transitioning to the third hour. We're going to pick up the bitter ender. He's going to continue with Confederate History Week. Be right back, folks.